Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that sound. Wiggling.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy, Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dallas, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
Elijah was Malcolm X. All my sons know the difference.
ain't activist to activist. Go gazelles on my face, looking like the Oculus. On my monument, standing in my trooper square. I'm super rugged. I said I got knowledge of myself, not knowledge of others. My Smith and Wesson brothers, buck, buck, buck shot. Make the gun stutter, throw in the extra clip. Rockin', rockin', get LaFleur and LaFleur. All you motherfuckers, that's 12 Jews.
Be arrested. I've been killing shit under the radar, yeah, you slept it. I've been on some next shit. Still a cycle, never lost connection. I'm still in the pocket, why the fuck have I been stressing? Lesson, pick it up, what I miss is lesson. I can only pick up my can't do it for the next man. Made it out, I'm a blessed man. Died what I could, head up with a set plan. Woke up alive, that's another day. Ask me how I'm doing, I'ma stay fucking great. Compared to growing up on 17, I ain't gotta sweat a thing. Don't mean I'ma live to see the next day. Oh my. From apartments to raiding the kindness. Plane after plane, it became like an office. You don't know my name, cause the fame is an offset. I've been free to murder and got further than the poppin'. Sickle style, OG, always original style. I can sell you dope and don't even gotta flip a pound. Sessions at the drug lab, that's where the shit go down. While I'm flying high, trying to track Federico. Yo, I got a hot one for the hot box. This is sicker than the method liquor that's on my block. Pop rock, cotton candy, stop see me the knock knock. Get that mind open when you're smoking just to drop out. Oh my. But don't need the dope. I make this shit look easy though. Been fine wine over time. Put me line for line. Beat for beat up against who's the king of both. Been getting mine. Kept it genuine. Only thing in mind at all times. You can press rewind. You know me. Nothing changed. Been the same. You can keep the game. I will be king until the end of time. Oh my.
Yeah, we live and direct. Got a double headed on deck right now. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin. You're now tuned in to Off the Cuff Radio. Got my host, T-Mask, with the facts in the building. What's good?
What it do? Another wonderful Wednesday on that fresh frequency OTC. Shout out to our co-host from Spare a Lot of Sandman, Lady Chinchilla. Of course, DJ Sincere up in Dirty Basement Radio. And we're live and direct. Let's get it.
Yes, sir, man. We got a doubleheader going down tonight. We got an artist on the line right now. Big shout out to Angelo for making this happen. He's making his way throughout the industry. Got a new single out called Wobbling. And he got a project I think he's putting out called Priority, and he's here to talk about it. So welcome, Surreal, to Off the Cuff Radio, man. What's good?
What's happening?
What's going on with you, man? Great to have you with us.
Oh, man. Appreciate y'all having me. I appreciate the opportunity. Shout out to Ms. Covington for making it happen.
Absolutely, man.
Now, you know, we reading a little bit of your bio, man, to let people know that's already in tune with you. Tell us what you have going on currently and what's in store for the
right now, really pushing my single Wobbling, featuring Mr. Kings. He produced it. The single been making a little noise, you know what I'm saying? I'm just shopping that really hard. I got a single, Priority, dropping on the 23rd of this month. I'm just, getting my feet wet, just staying consistent, just trying to keep it fresh and keep putting out new material. Doing the best that I can when it comes to my artistry.
Absolutely. And in terms of the artistry, it's always academic in terms of where, you know, the talent comes in. Tell us the genesis of where that talent began. Who was your inspirations, and what was the genesis of it all?
Honestly, music ran in my family. Mm-hmm. Everybody on both sides of my family, dad and mom side, did something with music, band, choir, and I grew up under that. I started out in the church choir, grasping a natural love for music. I taught myself how to play drums, you feel me, at a young age, just like sitting in church, watching somebody else play, so that kind of taught me, like, you know, rhythm and rhythmic patterns. When I got to high school, you know, I hooked up with one of my friends, and he used to write all the time. So that kind of influenced me to start writing. Music is just really, like, my love language, to be honest with you.
ain't nothing wrong with that.
You know what I'm saying? And, I got plenty influences, you know what I'm saying? Uncle Head from the Splat Pack. Shout out Uncle Head. Thrill the Player, 69 Boys is a big influence. Shout out to him. My man's Mr. King's big influence. He keeps me going. Shout out to him. I always listen to, like, Tupac and Biggie and Nas and all of that growing up. I love music, bro. You feel me? West Coast, East Coast, you know what I'm saying? Like, it don't matter to me as long as it's bumping.
You originally from California?
Nah, I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan.
Okay, shout out to the 313.
Yeah, man.
I mean, when you look, you know, 4th Street, you know, 7th and 8th Mile, all those spots, man. I mean, definitely a heavy hip-hop tradition. Of course, Esham, you know, some guy named Eminem. You know,
when you say Detroit, bro, you cannot say Detroit and not mention the mayor of the streets, Trick Trick. You feel me? Like,
yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Man, look, the OG itself, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you feel me?
Yeah, he keep Detroit on their toes, especially out of towners. You gotta be on your toes, can't disrespect Detroit. Yeah.
Oh, listen, bro, he don't be playing, you feel me? But it's a lot of people in the D that keep, you know, Detroit on their toes, bro. Big Sean, Cash Doll, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got 42 Doug banging with Yo Gotti now, you feel me?
Well, we
like,
can't
so...
forget Payroll Giovanni and I swear Vezo. Can't forget them.
Right, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been a fan of Detroit music a long time too, you feel me? Like even like back with the Cheddar Boys and stuff like that. That's what I used to listen to.
Blade Icewood and Wipeout, rest in peace.
Okay, hello.
I know about that history.
All right, that's what's up.
Yeah, man. You know, Lil Blade's carrying on tradition and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, of course, Elzai, can't forget him. I mean, that brilliant.
He's one of the
illest tribute. Man, that really tribute to Nas and Illmatic and what he did. You know, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that's like one of my that's one of the best Nas albums of all time, bro, if you ask me. Like, I mean, you know, Stillmatic was good, but I feel like Illmatic was better.
It's when we think about that history, we look at hip hop from all different regions. You know, when you talk about, you know, the West Coast, we talk about the East Coast, we talk about Detroit. Each of those three places, you know, New York, Cali, and Detroit specifically, all have classic albums. For you, what do you consider what makes a classic album?
I mean, a classic album, bro, is a tape you can just put on and, you know what I'm saying, like, just let it play. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't skip anything, you know, from A to Z. Perfect example, like, The Chronic, 2001. I feel like that was a classic. All Eyes on Me, you know what I'm saying, by Tupac. I feel like that's a classic. Life After Death, Biggie. I feel like that's the, you know what I'm saying, just you know, albums that you would put in and just, you know, we can take a road trip on.
It gotta be like a journey.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like, some classic.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, please.
No, I was just gonna say that, you know what I'm saying? Like, when it comes to a classic album, bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain ones that just, you know what I'm saying? Like, Aquemini, undeniable classic. You feel me? Just music that speak to the soul, bro. You feel me? Like, those make classics.
Yeah. When you say Aquemini, when we think about that release back in 1996 with Outkast's sophomore effort, third, because I'm thinking of AT-Aliens. AT-Aliens was the second. Aquemini was the third. But Aquemini, when it dropped in 1998, it was just stellar. It was one of those albums that by then, two albums in before with Outkast, with their debut, right, Southern Playalistic, and AT-Aliens in 96, 94, 96, respectively. Big Boy and Andre were, I don't think we knew the full scope of their genius. Of course, Andre, in 1994, when he, you know, the 94, 95 Source Awards, when he said the South got something to say, and people didn't understand it at the time, but they would go on to be one of the most influential, original, and consequential groups of this generation. Andre, if you just happen to be listening out there somewhere in this universe, you said you got an itch to rap again. Please drop something. The Flute album was beautifully genius. You still got something to say out there. Please do this. Please.
I mean, my man's doing numbers without saying anything. He plays.
Yeah. Man, listen, yo.
You know what I'm saying? So we know he got something to say if he could do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even got to say no words, and y'all still gonna tune in.
But it's also something, too, because a while back he said, because Andre is 48. And, you know, he was young, you know, a couple of years, going back into his mid-40s a couple of years ago, and he had felt like hip-hop was too much of a young man's game where he just didn't feel like he could say anything that would really be notable.
I don't really think it's that. I don't really think it's that. I think it's more so pressure. Because these guys, every time they dropped the album, it was considered a classic. So he's like,
That is true.
He just dropped five straight classics. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to outdo this one.
Wow, that's, look at two head.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I feel both of y'all on both aspects. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I mean, I could feel Andre too when he's saying that, like, you know, it's a young man's game. Like, you really got to keep up with what's going on. You got to be in the know. You got to pretty much speak the lingo, you feel me, that the young people speak if you aspire to reach them. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's who really, like, run the music game right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you look at, like, you know, Lil Baby and 4-2 Dub, you know what I'm saying? Like, these cats is, like, young, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, so for them to be doing numbers and the things that they doing at such a young age, it kind of is dominated by younger people and a younger generation. You definitely got to stay abreast, so to speak, of what's going on and try to stay relevant. But at the same time, you know, keep your integrity and, you know, act your age, so to speak.
I think when we look at the game today, you know, we're older, you know, King and myself. So we look at it from a different year, obviously, because of the generation that we came up in. And this is not to say that there is not good young talent out right now. There's plenty of it. But conversely speaking, we're seeing, without saying names to a degree, you know, because on this show, we're never out to slander or disparage anybody. But a lot of these young artists coming in, they made a flash, but they haven't been able to cook for long, you know. And we're seeing a couple of them where they kind of, you know, they flamed out, you know, because when you think about coming in, it's different because we came from an era where with rapping, you came in and you had to have that fire to really get in. Social media has enabled, not that we hate social media because it does a lot for this show and we love it, but social media has given a lot of artists, you know, a lot of people a outlet to rap. Now, this is where some might say it goes into hater aid, but I'm going to stand on it like a Dove and keep it clean like a bar of soap on the soapbox. Not everybody who wants to rap should, because not everybody can do it.
Absolutely.
And social media has given everybody that outlet to do it that probably should not, or at least can. I mean, well, I'll put it like this. You can do it. The thing is, can you do it well?
Right.
And it's not about trying to get notoriety more than it is bringing something impactful and meaningful that your name is attached to. And a lot of these artists, younger artists coming in, they are going really for, because this generation has grown up with, you know, MySpace, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, okay, Twitter. So they're looking at a means of celebrity, but not necessarily artist credibility.
Sure.
And I think that's where we're seeing too much of a influx of individuals who don't necessarily have a real grasp of what the culture entails. And then because this is a constantly evolving and changing genre in terms of what is in demand and how it has actually grabbed listeners. You know, it's constantly in motion. You know, we got artists from 5 years ago that came out and they're cold right now, you know, because they couldn't really figure out how to really, you know, move into the next phase. For your artistry, because obviously you got a gift with it, what was it like for you going into the studio the first time, and what is your aim when you're looking to author something awesome and, you know, have people have that imprinted in their mind that, like, yo, this is not just a rapper, this is a consummate MC?
I personally have a background of just being an artist altogether. Draw, paint. I've done custom shoes, you know, things of that nature.
Okay.
So my artistry is that of, I mean, I would call it a all around artist. I'm not just, you know, good with wordplay and all of that. I, you know, like I said, I can draw and stuff too. So it stemmed from that, and I just took the love of art and transformed it into music, you know, because I have a love for that too. I just really try to, like, paint vivid pictures, or, you know what I'm saying, like Biggie used to when he, you know, tell a story, or you know, like with, you know, when Pac used to, you know, tell a story. It's, I'm trying to leave a mental imprint with my words, and I feel like that's what really resonates with others, you know what I'm saying, like, because there's a lot of creatives out there. There are a lot of people that share my same love of music out there. You know, some people may not, you know, take it as far as to write a song, but they got a playlist, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm aiming to hit that playlist.
Absolutely. Now, you said you also do custom shoes as well. What do you feel about shoe culture right now? I read an interesting article via IG a couple of weeks ago about how people felt like it's not the same as it once was.
I think that people just like follow, you know, trends a lot. You know, not just, you know, step on anybody's toes, but I mean, perfect example, Jordan. Jordan has been coming out with the same shoe over and over and over. All he do is, you know, switch the colors. But you still got people lined up outside the stores and fighting in the store over the limited editions, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, y'all doing too much.
Yeah, and I think when we look at the era of Jordan's, because back in the day, I'm 46, don't mind saying it, and still a devout Jordan wearer, although I've never grabbed every pair that's came out. You know, there's certain ones that I will go get. But,
yeah, I'm just saying, though, you probably was never in line fighting somebody over a pair of shoes, or...
No, I stood in line once. That was over 20 years ago for the Flint Gray 9. Classified, one of my people. I tell everybody my sneaker connect is better than yours. But unfortunately, I don't. I have my peoples. If I can call up if I need something, you know,
right.
And if I need to get them, I can get them, you know, and that's. You know, I don't miss out if I want them. I put it like that. If I want one, I just gotta get in contact. I'll be like, I want these, and they're like, all right. You know, but when we look at it from a perspective of that era of fashion, we're looking at how Kanye made his foray into it. It's become a hot culture. And it's a haute culture, if I've pronounced it correctly. It's definitely become a representation of style, of luxury, of fashion forward. But like anything, I think when it gets too oversaturated, it can become somewhat banal and it loses its luster. You know, Jordans are still considered a grail, even though they made a lot more now in circulation. Where back in the day, when Jordan product was released, it was released in, you know, limited numbers. I used to work at a couple of shoe stores when I was younger. And when you got some Jordan T-shirts or some Jordan shorts, it was a big deal, as well as the shoes, because that was not something that was out there. And then when he, in 1997, started Jordan Brand, actual clothing line, I mean, you saw more of it out there. But the sustainability of maintaining that legacy of style and fashion and the demand at certain levels, and even with some of the special editions that have been put out, is remarkable. We have not seen an athlete over these years who has been able to maintain that level of relevancy in pop culture. You know, where their shoes come out and people will still grab them.
Right. Standing in line.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from Jordan. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, when we brought up shoes and, you know, the custom shoes, like, I feel like that's a field that's really, like, taking off. I watch a little bit of a couple of people that just, like, do custom shoes on, like, TikTok and all that type of stuff. So it's just one of those, you know, I'm not trying to, like I said, take nothing away from Jordan. Of course, like you said, he's been standing a long time. I just, some of the stuff that you've seen or that's been shown, as far as like I said, the standing in the line, fighting in the stores and stuff over the shoes, I just, it's a little crazy.
Yeah. I remember the whole sneaker culture back in the day. I remember when you talk about the customs, I remember the first heard about was Remix the Kicks. I believe they were from New York City. And they were one of the first people to actually, like, because when you look at, they really, when you're dealing with sneakers, it's not really that hard because you're dealing with acrylic paint, you're dealing with glue. I mean, the technology and innovations have gotten so incredibly advanced now that you actually have, like, the sole swapping, like 20, 30 years ago, that would have been unthinkable.
Right.
You know, but the crap of people, you know, but you got a lot of youngins out there that figured out the nuances of the manufacturing minutia, you know, how to sand it down, you know, the proper glue to use, the foam rubber, everything. And they figured out how to really, really restore shoes. And it's a bargain, not a bargain, but it's a bankable and very, very, very lucrative
business.
Trade.
Absolutely.
Yeah, business, absolutely. It's something you can engage in and enterprise excellently if you understand how it works. When we look at sneaker culture
Stop
now, of course. You're good, King. We're just chopping it up.
Show
about
that.
You
had to show my laptop, man. The thing died on me.
You good, man. We just sit here chopping it up about shoe culture and everything. And now we're looking at Shaq, you know, when we're looking at Shaq now with, you know, he bought Reebok a couple of years ago, bought in Iverson as the vice president, and they've already talked about that they're looking into, you know, bringing some retros back. Most notably, they said they're going to be bringing back the G-Unit and Sean Carter shoes.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Shaq. Shaq is a really smart businessman, always has been.
Yeah, the big Aristotle. I mean, one of the most dominant centers that ever play in the game, man. And Iverson, who literally, from my hometown of Hampton Roads, Virginia, literally birthed a whole new style revolution and example of personal expression that before then we had thought would never be seen.
He basically
bought street ball.
He bought the street ball epics to the NBA.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely brought the hip hop style into a fashion that really, really, really was something that it really allowed, I think, the players of that generation to feel comfortable to express themselves. You know, when we look at being black men in America, being of the hip hop generation in America, there's so much that is said about it. People will talk about the music, how it's crass and foul, but don't always give it its props on being creative and innovative. Hip-hop is inherently a street culture. There's an intrinsic link. So it's not always going to be pretty in terms of the aesthetics. But one thing that cannot be denied or argued is that it is an expression of people who felt disenfranchised and basically left out. You know, they were marginalized. Disenfranchised and marginalized. They were allowed to, you know, they took it upon themselves to express themselves. Iverson is every bit the fashion rebel. He is every bit the innovator. He is every bit the one who presented it to the world and said, this is me, and you're going to accept me for who I am, whether or not you like it. He was fighting for his right to exist in a space that it was not immediately ready for. And now, you know, look at where we are at almost 30 years later. For you watching Iverson come into the league, what did that mean to you to see him?
Iverson was, like you said, a innovator. Just he did things so different that they had to try to make rules to box him in. You know what I'm saying? Like, it started with the crossover. He had, like, one of the meanest crossovers. It wasn't until he broke Michael Jordan's ankles, you know what I'm saying, that everybody was like, yo, he traveling. He held the ball too hard, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's you know, even down to the suits and stuff that they got to wear now, you know what I'm saying? Like, all of that was started because of Iverson and him coming in with the do-rags and getting his hair braided on the sidelines, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just did so much to try to contain him. But when you cut from a different cloth, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you got a purpose, you can't really be contained. And that's why he's still relevant to this day. You feel me? Like, he always was himself. He always was, like you said, that guy from Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, look, even there to put out a rap album.
It's a lot of athletes, you know what I'm saying, that just grew up in that lifestyle, you know what I'm saying, that had a natural love for hip hop, you know what I'm saying, that tried to pursue a rap career. I mean, Shaq being one of them. Y'all brought him up earlier, you know, the Man of Steel. So, I mean, you know.
I was waved in at the time. Kobe tried it.
Right. And ain't nobody say nothing when Deion did it. Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, the prime time.
Yeah, the green.
1994.
Yeah, the green.
Yeah, when
suit.
You must be the money.
Must be the money.
Man, look, I remember that video back in the day, man. It was as a matter of fact, I got an old Source magazine where they actually interviewed Deion about it.
Wow, for real?
Yes, I have every Source magazine since 1994.
Oh, yo, that's crazy.
Yeah. So they actually interviewed him because, you know, this is during the time of the guy who was Nicole Hammer. So, you know, Hammer, you know, actually helped, you know, you know, produce his first album.
Right.
You know, and it was, when we look back,
that's really where he got his style from, to be honest. All of, you know, the dancers and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
The showmanship.
Right. Exactly that.
And a lot of youngins today know Hamler. I mean, know Dion as being the coach of Colorado. They didn't come up in the era we did. We're going to say it. I have never seen a cornerback as efficient as Dion was. He's the greatest ever. I mean, they'll say, well, he didn't tackle. I'm like, well, you know what? That wasn't his job. His job was to cover the best receiver. And you know what? They never threw the ball to his side of the field.
Right, because if he pick it off, he's going to go to the house with it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, one of my favorite Dion stories, when he was at the combine in 1989, and he ran like a 4.2, 4.3, 40, and then he said, and then he went home. He was like, I ain't have nothing else to prove. And went number, and I think he went like, because I believe Atlanta, he was Atlanta's first round pick. I want to say he went number one, or he was like number, he was in the top five when he got drafted by the Falcons.
Right.
But it was like, Dion, I mean, this is also the only man to ever play in a World Series and a Super Bowl.
OMG,
he's also,
right.
He's the only man to ever hit a home run and score a kickoff return in the same week.
In the same, right, okay.
I mean,
and wonder why he talk like that.
Yeah, and he's the first player to win a bet, if I got it right, he's the first player. Charles Haley is the first player in NFL history to win a Super Bowl with two different teams, the Cowboys and the 49ers. I believe Dion is the first player to ever win two Super Bowls in a row with two different teams, because he won one with San Francisco in 1995, and then the next year in Dallas, he won one.
Facts.
I mean, people can say what they want about him. The prime time, now Coach Prime, one of the most remarkable, one of the most incredible, one of the most extraordinarily gifted athletes of this generation, you know. And to see him, you know, Colorado, shout out to Boulder, the Buffalo, you know, we're good. He's going to get it turned around. It's going to take some time, but they're going to, you know what I mean? But he's an achiever football institution. So you mentioned that you're a drummer. You got a drummer as well. Who are some of your favorite drummers growing up?
I never really got into, like, personal drummers, just because, like I said, I kind of, like, just watched you know, watch somebody else do it and kind of like just taught myself the rhythmic patterns from watching him play.
Yeah, the rudiments and all that.
Yeah. I mean, the only real drummer that I know is, Travis? Is it Travis Porter?
Travis Barker.
Yeah, Barker. That's his name. Barker. My bad. I'm sorry.
Link 182, but, Travis Barker, yeah.
I mean, to be honest, that's the only, like, real professional drummer that I ever really paid attention to.
Yeah. I mean, I was growing up, I listened to heavy metal as well. If I could put you on to a few, like, the great Nick Menza, rest in peace. Dave Lombardo with Slayer. He sent Commando Sandoval of Morbid Angel. I mean, even jazz drummers like Max Roach. I mean, we're looking at rudiments, we're looking at progressions, rhythm skills, Gene Hoglan, a.k.a. the human clock, the human atomic clock, played with Death, Obituary, and Testament, John Dett, you know, it's so many. It really, Josh Freeze, Jimmy DeGrasso, people got to understand when you're dealing with drumming, the coordination you have to have is crazy in terms of being able to do all of that at one time.
Right.
You know,
if anything, with production. Yeah, if anything, that's what lacking with a lot of production is. A lot of people trying to rap with drumless sound.
Yeah.
Drumless sound. Wow. I've never thought of it like that before.
Yeah, so that's like the sound, like, now, you know, Rob Marciano from New York and Griselda made that sound famous, but, you know, we had that stick
right
now. Everybody want to copy that. It's like they see a synthetic sound and everybody want to copy. I think that's a bad thing. Everybody fall and try to redo the same thing.
It's a formula, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I think most people feel like if it worked for somebody else, it'll work for me.
When you look at those type of talents, I mean, Griselda, shout out to them Buffalo Bad Boys. You know, I mean, Benny Conway and Westside are just beyond talented. Those guys are a special breed. I don't think it'll be until 10, 15 years from now people really understand the impact that these guys have. Rob Marciano is quality. He is consistency. He is a consummate professional in every aspect. And he's been doing this over 20 years. And now he's just getting his respect for what he has been able to show the world in terms of his gift. Lyrically, those guys, bar structure is unbelievable in terms of fluidity, in terms of references, cadence, how they ride a beat. You know, even if it's not drums, necessarily heavy snares, it's like, you know, that's just an innate sense of grind, impeccability that cannot be penetrated by criticism on the composition. Not many artists can do that at the level that they've done it. I mean, probably Rascast, Ghostface, maybe a handful of others can do what they've done. But other than that, it's not many that can do it the way they do it. Yeah, I had to throw the great Ghost Dini in there. I mean, shout out to, you know, Iron Man, Ghostface Killah, the great Ghost Dini, one of the most wildly unpredictable, soulful, and outright original MCs ever. That dude's got
underrated.
That dude got more colors in his language than a box of Crayolas.
He definitely could do what E-40 did and come out with his own dictionary.
Man, and shout out to the Bay Area legend, Uncle E. I mean, I'm a huge E-40 fan. I mean, he that dude is just, I ain't got no words for how much of a wizard that man is. He is just.
Yeah, man. One of the illest.
Over 25 albums over a 30-year career. The man is in his mid-50s and he rounds like he's in his early 20s and he's wrapping circles around each other each day. Incredible.
It's the lingo, bro. You feel me? Like, nobody talks like E-40. You know what I'm saying? Like, even the people that come out of the Bay, they just, you might talk or use the same lingo that this man uses, but you don't quite say it like he say it. He's just a staple. He's a, you know what I'm saying, like an innovator. And then to take it from music all the way to a business aspect to where now, you know, he's selling wines and all that type of stuff, like, he keep them relevant. You can't really say the Bay and not say E-40. Just like, oh, you'll say Golden State when it comes to, you know, basketball or whatever. But you can't say California and not say E-40. You can't say California and not say Snoop Dogg or, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's hip-hop. That's California hip-hop.
I mean, and let's keep it real, too. Let's keep it real. That man, in terms of modern hip-hop lingo, has created over 75%. Thrilla, Cabbage. Shout out to the Bay Area.
Hit me on my catcher? What? Hit me on my catcher, bro. Come on, like this. Come on, bro. This man, he created his own dictionary, bro. He named somebody else in hip-hop that's had anything close to that, to where he created his own language. And it's been recognized throughout the world. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like people, you know what I'm saying? Like people way in New York is using this man's catchphrases and all of that stuff. Were you in front of the Bay? I mean, I might not be from the Bay, but you can still hit me on my catcher. You know what I'm saying? My weebalization.
Man.
That man is a genius, bro. That man is a genius.
And he gave us one of the most thought-out catchphrases in the history of all hip-hop. For all our true Bay Area E-40 fans and all I was about to say, Captain Save-A-Ho.
Because he definitely coined the phrase.
Yeah.
Don't save her, cause she don't want to be saved.
Man. And he was saying that back in the 90s.
Hello.
I mean.
That man
that
was a genius, bro.
Another
one of hip-hop's.
Go ahead. Yeah, what
were
you saying?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, another one of hip-hop's, you feel me, like, unreplaceables. You know what I'm saying? Like, one. Like who do it like E-40? Who's done it like E-40?
One thing about I think the genius and lyricism of which him and so many others possess is that it's understanding how to tie in real life situations of real human emotions and relationship aspects and behaviors and to flip them into a phrase that while it may be wildly out of nowhere, it connects with the listener. And that's what you define as impact. You know, because when he said Captain Save-A-Ho, you know, when he made that song, you know, and he did the video, that was revolutionary in terms of what it meant because it spoke on a relationship status even then of where we're seeing the gender wars continue today about men and women and relationships. How people get involved and stuff. It's even worse than that.
Man,
but he was
kick-ass niggas got podcasts.
But I mean, that just means he was ahead of his time. Way, way, way ahead.
He was speaking on it back then. I mean, like, she don't want to be saved. Like, she, you know, I mean... And that's classic because, dog, can you imagine if that was released today?
Oh, my God.
Man.
Twitter would have a whole meltdown.
Twitter and
Black
TikTok.
Twitter would be on suicide watch right now.
Man, that's all what goes viral. I mean, Sugar T, shout out to Miss Sugar, you know, Audie Sugar, because we had her on the show a couple of years ago. Shout out Eric Schroeder for hooking that up for us. You know, Sugar T was singing a chorus on that. I mean, that was like, yo, I mean, but but the Bay just got so much game. I don't think nobody hustles like them out there in terms of the lingo and the hustle. I mean, we talk about, you know, the late, great Mac Dre, Fizz and Peace, man. I mean, we look at the new generation like Filthy Rich, Stevie Joe, Lil Blood, Queen Kamaya, Messy Marv. I mean, Shot of Kitty Tweed and Four Racks of the Mechanics, Neff the Pharaoh. I mean, the Bay, okay, we can't leave out the Young Boss. Cookie Money. I mean, the Bay is just going dumb right now with it, man. I mean, they hold in tradition, and they holding court
playing a full press on the hustle, and they ain't letting up scoring from all sides of the town, man. I mean, putting it down. I mean, shut up.
Oakland already hit them with the sharp. They're hitting them with the sharpshooters like Golden State.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. When we look at the state of it today, what do you see with the – because a lot of people say the game has just been deteriorated, it's terrible, you know. But it's not bad at all. It's still thriving creativity-wise. What do you feel about a lot of the new artists out there that are really keeping it? Yeah.
A lot of new artists. It's still a lot of hunger. It's still a lot of love for music. Once you, I guess, weed out the redundancy, I think is a good word, but some people just, like I said, they just got a natural love for music. The way that they do what they do is unmatched. And if you can find those people out of the, I guess, millions of people that think they could do music, then, I mean, you know, you found something, or somebody at least, because, you know, y'all said earlier that, you know, just because you have a platform don't really mean necessarily that you're supposed to use it for your music, you know what I'm saying, because everybody's not delivering a message, everybody's not having something to say. A lot of people are following trends and doing what they feel like make them go viral. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not really trying to go viral, bro. I mean, I am, but not from following trends or, you know, not from doing what everybody else is doing. I'm just letting my natural love of music guide me, which there's other people out there like me, just letting their natural love of music guide them. And I feel like those are the people that really got something to say.
Absolutely. So your name's Surreal. How did you come up with that?
Surreal, because I was an artist before I was an artist. Surreal stemmed from the word surrealism, which is an actual form of art, meaning taking real situations and putting them in an unreal atmosphere. I really feel like that's what I do with my music. I'm going to take something that you're used to, something that you see every day, and I'm going to put it in an atmosphere that you're not used to it being. You've never heard it quite like this before. You might have heard it, but not quite like this. Taking real situations and putting them in unreal atmospheres, bro. It's like, that's where my name really came from. That was one of my favoritest. That's not even a word, favoritest, but
it is now.
It is now. If E-40 can create his own language, I can too. But back in high school, that was my favorite art form, surrealism. To take take real things and put them in unreal situations. You know, I might take a watch, a Rolex or whatever, and that's the sun in my picture. You've seen a Rolex before, you've seen a watch before, you've never seen it as the sun before. You know, just off the top thinking, that kind of makes everybody else think too.
Those are like the two words for men who are serious about his craft and who put much time and thought into articulating that gift. You definitely embody and define every sense of what an artist is, every capacity.
And that's all I ever aspire to do, bro. When it comes to my music, when it comes to my natural art, I just, as long as you say, oh yeah, no, he's really an artist, and I'm doing what I feel like the Lord put me here to do.
Yeah, man. And And as you and we about to wrap up this hour, man, tell us where we can find your music and where people can follow you on your social media handles.
When it comes to music-wise, you can find me on all digital platforms, Surreal, $IRREAL, all one word. Social media, I am Surreal on Facebook. That's my artist page. If you're looking for my personal page, it's Elroy Jensen. Instagram, I'm underscore Sir, S-I-R, 4, the number 4, Real, R-E-A-L, underscore, Surreal on TikTok and everything else.
Surreal, you know, this has been an absolute honor. This has been a privilege. This has been a pleasure.
So,
thank you.
The pleasure and the honor is all mine, bro.
Angela, thank you again for hooking us up. Yeah.
Salute Angela for making that happen, man. Definitely enjoy the build.
Absolutely. Two times.
We have to probably bring you back alone when we have to do sports shows in the future as well, man, because we need your input, especially when you got the NBA.
Anytime y'all need me, I'm here. Anytime you need me, bro, I'm here.
And shout out to your Lions for making a hell of a run this year, man. Hopefully this ain't the last time they can make it back.
I wanted them to be in the Super Bowl so bad, bro, so bad.
I feel like Goff deserved, you feel me, to go to Detroit and get him at least a Super Bowl, if not a ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. But,
yeah.
I mean, being from Detroit, I'm going to say this. The Lions play classic Lions football. They always, like, bang you up in the first couple quarters and then give it up in the end. I love them, though. Don't tell nobody from Detroit I said that. That's just facts.
It's all good. Dan Campbell's going to have them right. He's showing what
I hope so. We need at least one, bro. Just one.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Real,
we
thank you
appreciate the
so
bill,
much.
Son. So we'll definitely keep in touch, bro.
I hope so. And like I said, thank you again. I appreciate all of this. I appreciate the love.
Thank you. Thank you.
No doubt, man. Be safe, man.
Indeed, my boy. You do the same.
You too.
Yes, indeed,
and I guess, King, this is
something.
Yeah. Go ahead, King. Go ahead.
So, yeah, what we're going to do is, man, we on hour number 2, man. We're going to play a joint from Senator 215, and when we come back, we're gonna bring him on.
Senator 215, come on me now.
Man, why wouldn't I?
If I do rock, I'm simple my chills, man. Let's go.
Ain't it? ice on. Reach for it, that's the shit you lose your life for. Left handed, but my burner in my right palm. You better do the right thing on your spike joint. Fuck out all these bitches on they hype joint. They record me, they record me on they iPhone. I run up friends do anything, they get the mic home. Scream and freeze, we can freak you all night long. Pipe down, they just let me lay the pipe down. If they do it right, then I might charter a flight for them. I'm connected, nigga, I could put you right on. Mama Maki, that's a bearded rap icon. Got what it takes to rock the mic and still got what it takes to make your life awful.
Yeah.
We got some laser sights for night and so effing is in cage like they lawful. We lawless, they law-biting. We bosses, they workers. We mobbing in Mercedes Benz's. They mobbing in hearses. Goodness gracious, I ain't rehearsing. I'll see the cadence, you'll need a surgeon. We been here, ain't no need for a resurgence. SBA rep the streets that we emerge from. Everywhere I go, got a gun. And everything a boss nigga do got a purpose. Cross me, that's your funeral service. That's why nobody wanna go versus.
Ain't it ironic? Hustle till I'm gone, put my life on it. If the boys want pressure, we gon' slide on them. Daydream about the rolling, no time for it. Trap star with a pole on them. That was supposed to be your man, but you told on them. Ain't it ironic? Never back down, put my life on it. Ain't it ironic? Never back down, put my life on it. Ain't it ironic? Never back down, put my life on it.
Back in the building, man. Second hour.
Absolutely. And this guest right here that we have next, shout out to Hennessy Kevin Sutton of Rockefeller for putting this together. Took a while, but we got it. This artist we have coming on next is the epitome of the soul, the grind, the glory, the hustle, and the heart of Philly. Flying high like the Eagles, stuff like Iverson, and the Broad Street Bullies like the old Philadelphia Flyers, and always ringing that bell of liberty for lyricism in the game, leaving a crack in the foes. Built Rocky Tough and built from them streets of all over Philadelphia, from north to south, east and west. This man right here is a rhyme titan. He is an artist giant. We are so proud. We are so privileged to have his tenacious thoughts of Teflon excellence on Off the Cuff Radio tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, for part two, Son of the 215, we're about to make it live. What it do, man?
Man, can y'all hear me?
Yeah,
sure.
We can hear you. Oh,
man, listen, man. Shout out Off the Cuff Radio, man, for that beautiful introduction, man. That was heavy, man. I like that, man, the bringing the bell of liberty for lyricism. I love that, man. Thank y'all for having me, man. Shout out my dog, Henny, for lining all this up, man. I know it took a minute, but we made it happen, man. I got to keep my word, man. My word is my bond. I'm a real Philadelphian. You know, we survive off our words. So, but I told the fellas I was going to come through and chop it up with them. And we're here, man. I got nothing but time tonight, man. Let's do it right, man. Thank y'all for having me, man.
Man, look, man. You a heavyweight. You heavyweight in the round, and it was worth the wait, man. So let's go ahead and put the KO on the foes, man.
No doubt.
Under 215, obviously, your name resonates with pride, with integrity, with honor, with dignity, and it does your city proud, man. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Oh, man, well, you know, man, I mean, right there in the name, it tells you a lot about my story. You know what I'm saying? I'm born and raised in the city of Philadelphia. You know, I've been a lot of places, but Philly is my home, is my backyard. I started making hip-hop early on as a young youth, man, as a kid. Just something that, you know, I love to do. I love writing outside of playing sports and kicking it with the homies and running through Philly. You know, rhyming was something that I gravitated to early, you know, through the love of hip-hop. You know, my older sister, she had a crazy stash, and my grandmother was heavy into music. My father actually came to Philly from Augusta, Georgia. He grew up with James Brown down there, so he was heavy into music. Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Shout Pops out, man. He came up in the Great Migration to Philly. And my mother, she was an Army brat, so she wasn't born in Philly, but they both ended up migrating here, meeting each other, and having me and my sister. So that makes me a son of the 215, you feel me? They could have went anywhere else in the world, but they came to Philly, man. And, you know, they had me, so the city raised me, you feel me? And, yeah, man, I've been, you know, honing my craft and doing what I love to do for many years and just having that never say die, that Philly attitude, that underdog attitude that it's like, man, you can make it out the mud. You can make it all the way to the top floor if you know you work hard enough. You got the dedication, and it's led me down a crazy journey, man. You know, I've met some of my idols, got to rock stages with some of the heaviest MCs, lyrical titans like myself that I can learn from, new and old, you know what I'm saying? And currently right now I have a distribution deal with EQ Distro. Shout them out. You know, they, if y'all don't know who they are, that's EQ Distribution. That's Jay-Z's company. It's part of the whole Rockefeller family tree. You know what I mean?
Okay, so, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that was heavy. That was a heavy moment for me landing that distribution deal with them. And also, I have a situation to deal with my big bro, man, the legendary Philadelphia Freeway. Who started a company called Freedom Thinkers Academy. That's music,
yeah,
health, education, and culture, man. So, I you know, it's crazy because the record y'all just played was ironic featuring him. And in the beginning of the record, you hear the first time that I met him, you know what I mean? He pulled me on stage with him, and I got to rock out with him, and we built the relationship through there. Got to shout my man Hennessy Kev out again. He was there with that. And, you know, he was a part of that journey with me. And, you know, just trying to, you know, bring that genuine sound that Philadelphia is known for, man. That Philly, that, like my man Free said, that music you could feel. That Philadelphia music, that music you could feel, you know what I'm saying? From the era of, you know, Gamble and Huff to the Boys to Men era, to the State Property and Major Figures era, you know, every era of Philly, we gave y'all that authenticity that this is us, you know, this is Philly, this is that sound of Philadelphia. And, you know, I'm an artist that's trying to stay true to that. I believe in that. I tell people all the time, I'm selling the Philadelphia experience, you feel me? I'm taking that and taking it around the map and just letting people know what's going on our side of the globe, you know what I mean? A young cat from uptown Philadelphia, you know what I mean? That's nice with the words and, you know, trying to take it around the world and tell our story.
Absolutely. Once again, with Hennessy Kev, man, shout out to him, the whole Rockefeller, you know,
no
of course,
doubt,
we interviewed
no
Kev.
Doubt.
We interviewed Kev back in December last year. Met them all last year in June. Shout out to Freeway, Beans, you know, Young Neve, Chris, Petey Crack. You know,
yeah.
I mean.
They all my guys, man. They all the big bros, man.
Everybody.
They all the big bros, man.
Can't forget Mackie, you know, everybody, man.
DJ Mackie, man, they all big bros. And inspirations and mentors to me, man. I heard you speak of Petey Crack. Me and Petey Crack got a record on my project I just released called Midnight
and
Train.
And Chico, can't forget Chico. I can't forget Chico either.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I can't forget Chico, man. Brain, like they say, brain it on the brain, not the heart. But shout out to Chico, too, man. Chico the boss. Yeah, man.
No doubt, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt, man. Me and Petey got a crazy record right now called Back on Fire, man. Go check that out. Go stream it. It's on all major platforms, man, doing what it's supposed to do. And me and my brother finally got one in. And, man, he bring that lyrical, you know, excellence that he's known for, man. That's Petey Petey. You know what I mean? When you see me take it easy, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Giant. And it was a great moment for me to be able to get one in with my big bro. And, you know, me and Free got numerous records. And, you know, Freeway's a giant, a lyrical titan.
Yes, he is.
A master wordsmith, a master MC, you know, as who I've looked up to all my career, and not just to be a part of his label, but to also be able to, you know, learn from him and get jewels from him that I would never take to the pawn shop. I'm gonna keep for the rest of my life. You feel me? So, you know, just being around them guys, and I was talking to Free the other night, and I told him, I said, man, listen, a lot of people think that and say that, you know, they're Philly legends, but we got to remember, man, they are hip-hop legends in general, man, period. You know what I mean?
To me,
State Property is one of the greatest groups ever, man. You know what I'm saying? You say what you want to say. They're one of the greatest groups ever, man, and they deserve, you know, their flowers, man. I would love to see a Versus, man, with Dumb or the Woo or the Locks, whoever people want to go get, man. I know the Property will be able to stand the test of time. Beans just shut down the Met in Philly on Broad Street for his anniversary, for his B-Day.
Yeah, birthday last week.
Yeah man. He just shut it down, man.
Happy 50th, Beans.
Happy birthday, Uncle Mac Mitty. You know what I'm saying? And he killed it. And come on, man. Like, man, it was a time in the city where it was just Beanie Siegel and Allen Iverson, man, and Donovan McNabb. They was, you feel me? And Beans, you know, the way I look up to Free, I feel like, you know, Free look up to Beans. Beans opened the door for Free, same way Free opened the door for me. So, you know, that's that Philly brotherly love that people think don't exist no more. It's still here. You know, we come from the concrete jungle. You know, this is a real blue-collar city, but don't ever get it twisted, man. When we stick together, we unstoppable, man.
Man, for our listeners out there, our younger listeners, it's to see that era. Shout out to Jay and Dane, because no matter what they're going through individually, nobody can deny what Rockefeller did in the 90s and what they did to bring that resurgence of Philadelphia. Of course, with Freeway, Beans, you know, Chino and Sparks, you know, Petey Crack, the whole, I mean, is not always put in that conversation of hip-hop records, but it deserves the same reverence and respect and notoriety as L.A., as New York, and as Miami, and as Atlanta. You all have made an indelible and incredible mark.
Thank
Will
you,
Smith,
my brother.
And the Fresh Prince
shout out
and
Big
DJ
Willie.
Jazzy Jeff, 1989, the first hip-hop group ever to win a Grammy. You know,
hey, man.
First
you know what's so
smack a nigga on stage.
Yo.
Smack a nigga on stage.
Right. That's that West Philly coming out of him, man. That's that West Philly coming out of him. Don't ever think it's, you know, he might do happy rap and all that, but don't ever forget that boy from West Philly, man. Don't ever forget that. You feel me?
Heard some stories of the street game about it too. Won't talk about it here, but I'll tell our listeners.
Oh,
just go online.
No doubt.
Look at some of those street stories, and yes, it's true. It's true.
You better know
when
it.
Y'all read
you
it. It is true.
Tied in. You better know it. He was tied in, man. Shout out to my street guys. They know. If you know, you know. But listen, you sound like me right now, man. Like you really just really just put a stamp on things that, you know, I speak about and I preach about in my bars and in my music, and it lets me know that the message that I'm trying to put out there ain't in vain, man. You know, so many people talk about, you know, Philly got the hottest rappers or this or that. Yeah, yeah, we do. But we a whole genre, man. We're a whole genre. You know what I'm saying? Since way back, Four Wheel and like Gamble Huff. Yeah, you know, they was going head up with Motown and Berry Gordy.
Yeah.
He was destroying everything.
PSOP is now Philadelphia.
Only competition he had was the Gamble and Huff. They was going head up with him in full cylinders, man. Anywhere you look into the entertainment industry, check any part of it, man, you're gonna find some Philly DNA in there, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean Teddy Pendergrass and all them, you know, when they were doing it. Killed it.
Even at a time where Jay and them, you know, Jay has State Property and Free and Beans and them, but then don't forget you had Eve over on Rough Riders. You had Cassidy over there. You had
Shout to Cassidy,
you know,
man. We had yeah, him on the show yeah. too a couple years back. Shout to Cassidy.
You had Cassidy
man.
Running around. You had the Roots doing their thing.
Man,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had Jill Scott blowing up and Music Soul Child blowing up, and we've added so much to the culture of music and entertainment, not just hip hop, but entertainment in general. Some of the greatest actors come out of Philly. Some of the greatest musicians as far as instruments come out of Philly. Some of the biggest A&Rs that people don't even know that come out of Philadelphia and athletes. And you know, man, I just, it makes me proud to be a Philadelphian. And, you know, when people overlook that, I felt like, you know, when you're doing this entertainment thing, you need a story to tell. You need, as some people like to say, what's your gimmick? Well, mine was, you know, getting the bells ringing at home. And what's the best way to do that? But, you know, telling our story. I'm you know, I'm that artist. You know, how Will was West Philadelphia, born and raised, and had a show about being from a kid from Philly. My music is about a man from Philadelphia who's got the talent to take this around the world, man. And it's crazy that you said that, you know, we was the first city to get a Grammy, because on my project, Midnight Train to Philly, out right now, go check it out. I got a bar on there on the second song. It's called The Legend of Schoolie D. And I say, first city to bring rap a Grammy. First city to bring rap a Grammy. I played Will and Jazz when my parents ain't understand me. Family, this is my love letter. Rest in peace. Malik B, because nobody does it better. You feel like, you know what I mean? It's crazy that you said that. First city to bring rap a Grammy, man. Yeah.
And you got to think about Schoolie D. He was really the first pioneer of gangster rap music.
Come on.
As we knew it. PSK, Parkside Killers, what's it mean? You know,
Easy and Ice T. They got their whole Ice T to tell you. He got the whole format for the song from Schoolie.
Shout to him. Yeah, he'll tell you. Ice T will tell you that was his inspiration in terms of when you listen to his first album, Ryan Pays, in 86, and that was released about, that was released a few months, I believe, before N.W.A. and the Posse, and 2 years before Straight Outta Compton. But Ice-T, he tells you, in terms of his rhyme cadence, that's when he was starting out, and that's when he was still trying to really, you know, get his feet under him. But Schoolie D was a heavy influence for him in terms of how he really was trying to find his way.
Wow, bro. Come on, man. Come on. Give us our flowers, man. And then, you know, and if they don't, man, it's an artist like me, who calling himself the son of the 215, man. I'm here to make them give us our flowers, man. You feel me? We love, you know, hip hop, and I know hip hop loves us. But like you said, it's major markets out there: L.A., Miami, New York. You know what I'm saying? Chicago then got it in on the mix. Detroit getting in on the mix. You know what I'm saying? They even Canada having it their way. You know, Seattle. Everybody got their own genres, man. And you know, I want that for my city, man. I think we deserve that. You know, even before Jay was coming down tapping in, you know, people seem to forget. You know, right before Big died, he had a song with an artist called Tracy Lee that was heavy. You know what I'm saying? Tracy Lee from Philly, and he was messing with, you know, dating at the time, you know, allegedly was dating Charlie Baltimore, a legendary Philly MC female. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he was big seeing it. He was coming down tapping into Philly and tapping into the Philly market. Jay seen it. Next, you know, he came down and we all know what he did. You know what I'm saying? Scooping beans up and state property, man. It's something here, man. It's special here in the air, man. And, you know, a lot of our artists feel like we got to leave Philly to make it. And I'm changing that whole narrative. Like, no, man, we going to leave and hit the road and spread the message, but we going to make them come home. We going to make them come here, too, and get this Philly vibe. You feel me?
Oh, and not to mention the fact that Beans, the Young Guns, State Property, that's like the heart and soul of Rockefeller right there.
Come on, man. Come on. Come on, man. Come on. When Jay was going at it with the big homie Nas, man, when they two was going at it, the Property was right there front line, man. Especially Beans and Free and the Gunners, man. And Old Sparks, all of them, man. They was right there front line. Shout out to the big homie Memphis Bleak, man. That's another a mentor and OG of mine, man. I've been on tour with him numerous times. You know, Freedom Thinkers Academy and his imprint, Warehouse Music Group. Like, you know, I believe Memphis Bleak wife is from Philly. Like, you know what I mean? He always had love for Philly and Beans and the guys, man. And, you know, man, it's just, you know, it's a great place to be from, man. And it's definitely my muse, and I draw my inspiration from my city, man. And I feel like all the great artists did that with Dr. Dre and Easy and them, how they carried it for Compton, and the way Nipsey might have carried it for where he was from. You know what I mean? How Big carried it for Brooklyn and Bed-Stuy, and Jay carried it for Brooklyn, and, you know, Nas with Queensbridge. All the famous, you know, big MCs, heavy MCs, you know, they never stopped letting you know, where the home base is, man. So, you know, that's why my name is, that's part of the reason my name is what it is, man.
That era.
And, you know, it's so much respect, in the history of Philadelphia, man. Y'all hosting the big event. Y'all hosting WrestleMania 40 this year.
Come on.
So I know that's going to be a crazy turnout.
Come on. Even as far back as us, you know, the American Bandstand used to be here. You know, the theme music for Soul Train. That's Gamble and Huff and them. You know what I mean? That was a legendary theme song. You know what I'm saying? You know, Made in America concert, the Roots Picnic. Like, come on, man. This is the 215, man. Like, come on. They know what we do out here, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm proud of that, man. And I'm proud to be carrying the torch and being one of the young guys who is not just talking about murder, kill, drugs all day in the songs. Don't get it twisted. I'm from the corner. I'm from the streets. Like, you know what I mean? But I'm going to get these youngins the real. Like, it ain't no happy endings in that game. You feel me? I ain't going to lie to them. I ain't gonna tell them go out here and do a drill and you gonna be cool. You gonna can write a rap about it and blow up. Like, nah, man, it ain't no happy endings in that game, man. And plus, man, we tearing the city down with that. We need to show. I'm trying to show people the beauty in my city, the beautiful struggle. Yeah, it's a hard city, but it's a beautiful place to be from, man. We got some of the best women, beautiful women, great food. Great musicians, great art. We got the most murals in the U.S. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, and you know, my old heads, they feel the same way. You know, Philadelphia Freeway. You know what I mean? Philadelphia Freeway. That's his name. Beanie Siegel, the Broad Street Bully. You know what I'm saying? Like, we carry our city with pride, man. And I'm sure anybody would do that wherever you from. So, you know, you got to feel that. You got to get behind an artist like me. Like, man, this boy, he's serious about, you know, repping where he come from and where he was raised and making good music to reflect back to that. You know, people want to know, dang, I wonder how it sound in Philly, what they on. You know what I mean? I don't want people to hear Russ and be like, man, they sound like a Detroit guy. Or he sound like a Chicago guy. Like, nah, man. Oh, that's how Philly sound. Yeah, he a Philly guy. I could tell just by the way he talking. You feel me?
Yeah, man. It's definitely, I mean, everybody's got to understand it from everything that's gone on in Philly, from the music to the streets. I mean, we know the street figures like ARF. You know, we know about Kabani Savage. You know, the JBM.
Yeah.
You know, it's serious out there. Yeah,
legend.
Man.
Legends,
you know,
legends, street legends, man, street legends.
Yeah.
There's no free ads. And come on, man, Kabani, man, like, come on, man, dangerous guys, man. JBM all the way back to the original Black Mafia, Do For Self and all them guys, Sam Christian and Bo Baines and all them guys, man, like, yeah, those guys was messing, you know, they was running with Bumpy Johnson, man, like,
yeah the Harlem Godfather.
Yeah. Method Man played Sam Christian in the series. Yeah, man. Hey, man, I love that y'all guys is in tune with what's going on over here, man. You know, that's dope, man. That y'all representing for the culture, man. Y'all some dope journalists and radio personalities, man. We need that out here. We need that out here. So y'all giving me
a
platform.
It.
Yeah, just by having me on and sitting down and chopping it up with me, man. I love that, man. I love that.
We do. We appreciate it, man. I mean, we think about that era, what you're talking about earlier, you know, with Tracy Lee. Party time.
Oh, it's fun.
I mean, that was the thing.
I mean,
when you think about major figures, you know, Bianca the First Lady, Ab Lava, you know, Tony Dutch and Ace Bay, you know, Billy the
Dutchie,
Kid.
Man. Yeah. Shout out Dutchie.
Yeah.
Shout out, me and Dutch got a crazy record, man. Go check out a record me and him got called Goodfellas. That's on my project. Then I got another record with him off of his project called Sirens. That's crazy. Me and Spade then jumped on records together, man. You got to understand, as a kid growing up in Philly, these guys was my window to the world. They made it. So they was, you know, my generation is under them. I come after them. So they showed me and my generation, like, yo, we made it. Y'all can make it too. You know what I'm saying? So they were a heavy influence on me growing up. And to be, you know, now next to these guys and these guys telling me, like, yo, youngin', you the next one up. You going to carry the torch. Like, that, you know, man, that's worth more than any record deal or anything to me, man. You know what I mean? These guys, it's goats and legends in my eyes, man.
I mean, when you think about it, Philly has always produced, you know, like I said, it's the grit that's produced the toughness. When you look at legends like Benoit Hopkins, you know.
The execution.
Yeah. I mean,
Joe
when you
Frazier.
Think about.
Yeah.
So, it's all, you know, resilience has always been a hallmark.
Even though he wasn't from here, like, he's still an honorable member. He's an honorable member of Philadelphia. We adopted AI. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
man.
See, he had to end his career here at home in Philly, man. And when he played for us, he gave it everything he got. He still was cooking when he went other places, but it was never nothing like that AI Philly, that Philly AI. He was, come on, man. He took us all the way to the promised land, man. And a lot of people forget Kobe is from here. He played for LA.
Yeah.
His pop
Lower Marion. Lower Marion High School.
Yes, sir. Kobe got that Philly, that Philly
and
fight.
And can't forget Rasheed Wallace.
Can't forget Big Rasheed,
yep.
Man. Come on, man. Got Coutinho Mobley. Just came back to the Sixers. Kyle Lowry, man. Come on, man. Yeah. Legends, man. All Philly legends. All, you know, inspirations to me, man. And, you know, I'm just happy to be carrying the torch for such an amazing place, man.
What have you seen in your time in the industry, son, in terms of what it's been from once you made your entry in terms of the interaction, the label politics, before you signed with Free? What was it like just in terms of watching the business unfold and just how the workings worked?
Wow, that's a great question, man. And I would say just the pace of it, man. You know, it really you never really realize it until you in the eye of the storm. Like people always say, man, it happens so fast, you know, overnight. Like you know, and you never know that until you in the storm. Like you never think it's gonna happen until it happens, and then when it happens, it's happening fast. So you got to keep up and pay attention and you know, mm-hmm. you can't never take your foot off of the gas. Like some people get content with a little buzz or, you know what I mean, a little bit of notoriety. Like right now, the level that I'm at, I seen guys kick their feet up like, oh man, I made it. You know, I'm popping in my city. I got a little name outside of my city, or people know me here or there. It's like, I'm cool now. Like, no, that's when it's really just beginning. Because once you get to this level, you got to realize it's other cats out here that's hungry, that's gunning for your spot. You feel me? There's a lot of cats out here that would love to be signed to a Philadelphia Freeway, would love to have a deal with a distribution deal with Roc Nation. It's a, you know what I mean? I got to step it up even more. I got to be on my game even more. And then, you know, also the business side of it. Like you said, man, learning the business, you got to know your business. Like, it just so happens, being with EQ, I was able to have my masters, own my masters from the door. So, you know, that was part of my deal, owning my masters. And I think that's, you know, a great thing for artists to have, you know what I mean, in this industry. And you know, yeah, your connects is key, too. Your relationships you build. I always try to tell younger artists, don't burn bridges, build them. You feel me? Build bridges. Don't burn them. You feel me? Because you connect. That's about, I would say, man, 60-70% of this game is your connections. It ain't what you know. It's who you know. You feel me? Me sitting down with y'all guys right now all came from you guys knowing my man, Hennessy Kev. So, you know, look at that. You look how that works. You feel me? And a lot of these artists don't know that, man. You got to be able to be approachable. You got to be able to be somebody that people feel comfortable working with, comfortable talking to, comfortable being in the studio with, comfortable inviting out to come perform. You know what I mean? You got to, you're selling a brand. Thunder 215 is not a person. I'm Morris Island Freeman. You know what I'm saying? Thunder 215 is my brand. That's what I'm selling. So, you know, I'm a businessman at the end of the day. So you got to carry it like that. You feel me?
When you speak on your brand with such, you know, poignancy and urgency and definitive, notoriety, notation on it, what do artists today, son, have to understand about it in terms of once you present yourself to the world, what it means to have people identify you in a certain capacity of not only your music but your brand?
Yeah, man, it means everything, man, especially in this age now, man, with the internet and, you know, things on the internet is in pen, not pencil, man. So you got to make sure when you presenting yourself and your brand and your work to the masses, take time to make sure it's correct, man. Don't rush it, man. Don't preheat your food, man. Like, cook it, let it simmer, make sure it's all the way done, man. You know what I mean? From to the small things to the big things, having your team right, your management, your booking agent, your producers, your engineer, your publicist. You know what I'm saying? Having all them things correct. You know what I mean? Your pictures, your headshots, your credentials, your credits on your songs, your BMI, your ASCAP, your publishing. Your paperwork right. Make sure everything is right, man. So once that, because like I said, it happens fast, man. You could put a song out tomorrow and it go viral. And if you ain't got that nothing right, you snatch the beat off YouTube and that's somebody else's beat. And now you headed down a whole different path you wasn't even ready for. And you might not even get paid because you ain't have your situation right. So if you make sure, take time to make sure that's right while you starting to, you know, make your rounds, You gonna be good once everything jump off. You feel me? You gonna be ready to play ball. You know what I mean? If you in the gym shooting 100 jump shots a day when the big game come, and you know it's tie ball game and somebody passed the rock to you in the corner, you done shot that shot a million times, man. You can't miss. You can hit it with your eyes closed. You feel me? That's what a lot of cats do, you know. I hear cats like, you know, man, I don't even do this. I ain't do that. I ain't no rapper. I just stumbled onto this, man. I tell them in a heartbeat, man. I'm ready for this. Like, I was born to do this. I study my craft every day, every night. I'm studying. I'm trying to learn more about this game. So, you know, I can, you know what I mean? I can be on top of my game at all times, man. You know what I'm saying? And when you presenting it to the world, because like Biggie once said, man, he said, treat your first like your last and your last like your first, man. You know what I'm saying? So that means to me, every time you step out onto that stage, you step into that booth, you step into that office, you step into the limelight, man, you treat it like, you know, it's your first time doing it. You go hard every time, man. You give it your all every time, man. And if you carry it like that, I mean, I don't see no way you can lose, man. And if you do, you know you gave it your all.
Now, we're in new different generations of Philly right now. Now, do you see guys like Meek Mill and Lil Uzi Vert, you see them repping the city right into this new era?
I mean, yeah, man, you know, shout out to those guys because, of course, man, they Philly, man, so I got nothing but love for those guys, man. One thing I would like to see more of, though, is, you know, artists that make it from out of the city reaching back and pulling more guys up, man. You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, you see that a lot in New York. You saw that a lot in L.A., and, you know, even you see more of it back in the day, man. Like, it was so many, you know, artists on from such cities that you would be like, dang, you know what I mean? Atlanta had a whole, man, they had about a whole 10, 20-year run, man, pulling each other up and pulling guys in, T.I. and Outkast and, you know, Goody Mob and Phil Mob Underground Kings, and they, you know, the South is just booming, man. You know what I'm saying? And I would love to see that for Philly, man. But, you know, and, you know, not for nothing, man, that's what a guy like me is for, man. That's why people need to get behind, you know, when I'm out here pushing, because that's my whole intent with this, man. I want to build a whole Philly, you know, empire, man. I got ideas to do Philly movies and, you know, more Philly festivals and events and, you know, more Philly businesses and labels. So these artists, these up-and-coming artists ain't got to feel like they ain't got no access to no major labels, man. I feel like, you know, with Meek's talent and the height that he's reached in the game, you know, and hopefully one day it will be. It should be a Dream Chasers Records right downtown somewhere, man. Biggest day. You know what I'm saying? That's how Gamble and Huff had it with Philly International, man. They was right here in the city and Larry Gold's studio and all them great epic studios that was pumping out all them hits. They was right here in the city where these homegrown artists could access them. And then, you know, not for nothing, that's creating the black dollar, man. Because now people is getting more jobs and more money is floating through and they can reach back and pull more people up. And then them people can reach back and pull more people up. And before you know it, we all getting money. You know what I'm saying? We all getting money, man. Ain't no room for nobody to be jealous because everybody getting to it. So I would love to see more of that, man, from my guys in the city that's at that level, that high mainstream level, man. And, you know, hopefully it will become that, man. And, you know, I would love to see it.
When you see what's been going on in general, with a lot of artists having conflicts, what do artists have to understand about, you know, having problems is one thing, saying names on a track is another, and then when you actually make threats to do something to somebody, what do they have to understand about the consequences and the repercussions behind errant and reckless talk and action?
Hey, man, you know, this is hip hop, man. It's a blood sport, and you know, of course, it gets competitive, man. We all want to be the top guy. We all want to be the number one. We all want to be that guy that just was untouchable. But at the end of the day, it's still a business, man. You know what I'm saying? It's still a business. We don't work this hard to make it out of the hood, and then just like that, you do something that can take it all away.
Mm-hmm.
You could take it. You lose it all just like that because you couldn't can control your composure, or you let somebody take you off your square, man. I tell cats, you know, in a heartbeat, man. Like, listen, man, it's hip hop. You feel like you better than me? Out bar me, man, and let the people decide. Let's hop on the record, and you know, let's do a record together and see who the people gonna say killed it the most. You feel me? Get the fans what they want. You know what I'm saying? Like wrestling. Wrestling is probably a billion-dollar industry. Them guys go at it all night, but probably backstage busting it up, probably at each other's barbecues that weekend or whatever. You feel me? It's a business, man. We here to entertain, man. We here to entertain and get the people what they want, man, and show these kids that, you know, it's another route, man. You can make it out of here and be successful and be your own boss, man. You know what I'm saying? We got to be careful because, you know, whether we like it or not, we're in the public eye. And, you know, there's people out here that's listening to these records, our records, and looking up to us. And, yo, I'm going to go do that just because Meek told me to do that. Or I'm going to go do this because Son of the 215 said do that. Like, we got to take, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown, man. You got to take into consideration that with that. So you got to use your power for good, man. You know what I'm saying? I totally am agreeance with you right there, man. You know, it's one thing to get on these records and throw jabs or get at somebody and let them know, like, look, I'm active. But then when it's spilling to the streets, that's a whole nother story, man. So keep it on wax, man. We lost too many people already in hip-hop, man. Rest in peace to my brother PNB Rock, man. Rest in peace to all the GOATs, man. You know what I mean? That we lost, man. You know what I'm saying? So keep it on wax, man. Keep it hip hop, man, and let's keep pushing the culture forward.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in Philly right now. I ain't gonna go too deep into it, but you know, some Philly artists is going at it right now, and you know, I hate to see it. Me being the son, I hate to see it, man, because it's like, yo, the powers that be that want this hip hop thing to be over with, they sitting back and you know, they loving it. Look at two people from the same city going at it. Y'all two could be combined and being a powerhouse. You feel me? So that's the way I'm carrying it, man, you know?
And that's important, man. Like you said, there's enough money, there's enough popularity, there's enough listeners for everybody.
For all of us, man.
And I think some artists get caught up in a myopic view of the perspective that they're thinking they're, you know, the main event in a room full of headliners and main events, you know.
True.
Because it's getting the notoriety is one thing, but it's being able to branch out where – last time I checked, there's no limitation on popularity. Matter of fact, the more popular you are, the more success it brings.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's never a bad thing when everybody can win because that means that everybody has succeeded at some level. You know, it is never a bad thing when everybody can thrive. It's a bad thing when nobody's thriving because that's when the bitterness and anger comes in, and that's when everybody's going to start really – you know, being pissed off. I'm like niggas is pissed off at somebody successful. I'm like, well, niggas, y'all are both gonna be mad at neither one of y'all.
Crab mentality.
preach.
Man,
and there's no limitations on good music either, man. If you making good music, man, you ain't got to worry about it because it's going hit, man. Look at my man Killer Mike, man. Like Killer Mike is a prime example, man. And it's late in his what 40s, man.
48 years old. 48 years old and won a Grammy.
Come on now.
You
know? Come on.
I mean, look at one of our favorite groups, Griselda, up in Buffalo. You know,
shout
Benny Westside and Conway.
Yeah.
I mean, I opened up
City
with Benny
Boy,
before.
Great dude, Tony De Niro.
Great guy.
Man, City Boy.
Very solid
guy. We had both of them on the show. Yeah, we had both of them on the show. Got to meet them last year.
Know all them guys, man.
Yeah, man, that whole
Ricky Hyde, though. All them guys.
Yeah. Man, Heen, Armani Caesar. I mean, they are just, I mean, that whole crew, I mean, between Drumwork, Griselda, and Black
Soprano
family.
They holding
it down. Yes. You know,
and not for nothing, man. That's what we doing over here, FTA, man. We building that type of powerhouse of freedom thinkers, man. So, shout out to Griselda, man. I met Benny on numerous occasions. Got to open up for him. He gave me some jewels, man. Like what I was doing, man. You know, shout out to them guys over at Drumwork, man. They killing it, and you know, that's we can. We could talk about the streets. We could represent the streets, but we ain't got to be in the streets. You know, we made it out. It ain't no need to be in the streets no more. What you in the streets for? The whole purpose was to make it out. You could come back and give back to the streets and try to better the streets. But all that, you know, moving backwards and going back to the old ways before we got to where we at, it's no need. It's no need.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, once you do, I tell anybody, you don't have to apologize for success. And when, you know, you get out there in terms of trying to go back to the same bad habits, that's the receding hairline of hustling backwards.
Yeah.
You know, and you get upended hunted like a rabbit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, have to understand this is real life. Rico is real.
It's real.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing a certain rapper right now who's dealing with this, you know, and they followed him from his whole career. And now he's finding out exactly what they got on him. You know, so once you're able to move ahead, you move and you get all the way out. Shout out to my man Jeezy. You know, Jeezy can talk about it because the statute of limitations are passed. But when he talked about 101, you know, that was like he said that was probably my most authentic because I was still 1 foot in and 1 foot out.
Yeah.
But Jeezy realized as he progressed in his career, he realized he had to make that change in terms of really going full into the music.
Yeah, and that probably was one of the best decisions he ever made, because look at him now, man. Look at him now, alive, well off, can feed his family, can make sure his homies is cool, can be a pillar in his city, and it's a lot of guys that did that, man. Look at T.I., man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Another one, you know what I mean? Look at Jay-Z. Come on, man. Billionaire. Come on. Yeah. You're exactly right, man. And, you know, I'm trying to walk the same path, man. And, you know, that's all in the box, in the son of the 215 box, man. That's what being the son is about, man. You know what I mean? My music, it represents Philadelphia, man. The good, the bad, and the ugly, but the beautiful more than anything, man.
What does it mean for the people to recognize and really be able to be enthralled, to be engaged, to be overjoyed, to interact, to ultimately celebrate the sounds of that new wave of common sense wisdom that you have been able to spread across?
Means everything, man. Because, you know, so much going on in the world, man. I feel like it's needed, man. I don't know if y'all heard about it. Me and my lady was just talking about it, man. It was a crazy mass shooting here in Philadelphia where 8 kids were shot down at a bus stop, man.
Yeah. Heard about that. Yeah.
Other kids. The suspects was kids. So it's like, what are we doing, man? And this is a bus stop, a main bus stop in Philadelphia where anybody could have been, my mother or my sister or my son, anybody could have been there that I've known. And, you know, caught them bullets, man. And it's like, you know what I mean? I'm from the streets. I come from the concrete, man. It was a time where we had rules out here. You know what I'm saying? Things was off limits. You know what I mean? Certain days, it was a no-go. You feel me? You caught somebody with their mom or their wife or their lady, it's a no-go. You give them a pass. So it's like, what are we doing, man? It's like each generation is more unhinged than the last. You know what I'm saying? And then with the social media stuff, everybody got to be a tough guy. You feel me? So it's like, it's very important to put some positivity out into the universe and out into the air, man, and show these youngins because they the future, man. You know what I mean? I just, a couple weeks ago, if you check my Instagram page, my daughter, she did a black history report. She had a black history report due for her class, and she's in third grade, and she chose me to do her black history report on, as, you know, me being a hip-hop artist. And her teacher had me come up to the class and speak to the class, and, you know, these are third graders, man, third graders. You know, we got to catch them that early. We got to catch them that early and shape their minds. And the love that they gave me was impeccable. The hugs and the autographs and some of them telling me I was their favorite artist, man. It hit me right there. Like, man, I really got to be watching what I'm putting out into the universe now because, you know, it's babies, literally babies out here that know who I am. You feel me? So it's like, man, you know, stand for something or fall for anything, man. You know what I'm saying? Stand for something or fall for anything, man. So, you know, I mean, listen, you could take that road of feeling like, man, well, everybody rapping about this. I need to rap about that. You know, I want the money. Yeah, you know, you could. Or you could be, you know, the fruise that sparks a generation, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's worth more than anything out here, man. I'd rather it's not who we are, but what we do that defines us, man. You feel me?
Thanks.
And that's definitely a responsibility that is heavy, but because of your strength and being a stalwart, you know, you're more than capable of bench pressing that type of wisdom to give to the next generation.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you
sir.
Know, we see so much going on, and people talk about the state of hip-hop. If there's one complaint I do have, is artists like yourself do not get played enough for the public to really hear.
That's what
you know,
we hear
because
for.
It's, yeah, you know, and that's why King said it's what Off the Cuff Radio is about, you know.
Hey,
but
and that's why I had to make my pilgrimage and come sit down and bust it up with y'all. You definitely hit it on the nose right there. That's what y'all are here for, man. And that's why I gotta give you guys y'all flowers, man. All the radio stations and the underground hosts and promoters and radio personalities and bloggers and websites that tap in with us guys, us authentic guys that's really doing it for the culture. We appreciate y'all so much, man, because I don't know who could be listening to this show right now. You feel me? Y'all playing records and you know, doing y'all homework on the artists and stuff like that, man. Listen, every fan counts for guys like us, man, for guys like me, man. You know what I'm saying? So I love it. And it always shows itself to me some type of way, man. Like, it could be months from now, I'll be somewhere and run into somebody, and they'll be like, yo, bro, you sounded 215? Yeah, what's up with you? Yo, man, I heard you on Off the Cuff Radio, man, one night, man. They was playing your records, and, man, yo, that interview was dope, bro. And that right there let me know, like, yeah, it's working. It's doing what it's supposed to do. So we appreciate y'all immensely, man. And I can just tell by the way you brothers is talking that y'all know the culture, man. Y'all study the culture. Y'all love the culture, man. And, you know, we need that, man. We need that. We need a round table of people that's like, nah, man, this is our thing. This hip-hop thing, this is our thing. The powers that be, and now in these offices and these higher-ups and these labels who just want to sign 10 artists that all look alike and sound alike and talking about the same thing, and they feel like it's going to get them 1,000,000 views and they can make money off of their these artists' views and streams, man. They didn't create this hip-hop thing. We did. You know, we ended up letting them into our house, so you know how that go. They got comfortable and start putting their feet up on the table and jumping on the couches and all that. But, you know, we created this thing. You feel me? So we got to be the ones that create the narrative and shape the way this thing is going to go.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that's important, man, because when we look at where the game is now, it's become a cookie cutter. It's a formula.
The mainstream part, that is.
Yeah, the mainstream.
And, of course, and I think more than anything, I don't want to say too much on air about it from my personal feelings, because I don't want to ruffle feathers from a certain perspective. That's something for an off-air conversation, but I'll just say this. People got to understand that there's more out there than the radio. And if you just dig a little bit, you're going to find something that's really dope.
Yeah.
But don't rely on the radio. Yeah, just do your history, as we say in the culture, do the science, and really dig for, you know, something that really represents the genius, the innovation, gives credibility, gives honor to, respects, and ultimately uplifts in the expression.
Yes, that's the most important. Yes, sir. Couldn't have said it better myself, man. And all the artists out there that's listening, we got to do our part too, man. We got to give these people something to look forward to for when they digging, something that they could come across and find and be like, oh, snap, what's this? Who this guy? Who this kid? Son of 215, let me tap into this. Oh, man, he hot. I'm a fan. You know, we got to stay active. So, you know, that's why Midnight Train to Philly out right now. Go stream it. All platforms. First single, Back on Fire, me and PD Crack. Second single, Blessings. Third single, me and my brother Core, Dream Chasers Records artists, both Uptown Titans, Doc and Moses. That's out right now. And you know, man, I'm going to keep pushing it forward, man. I'm going to keep repping that new Philly, man. That's my slogan, that new Philly. That new Philly. You understand that?
No doubt.
Absolutely. Son of the 215, this has been so enlightening. This has been educational. This has been uplifting. This has been inspiring. Once again, shout out to Kev for putting this together.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to the whole crew, of course. Like I said, Chico, you know, Beans,
yes, sir.
Freeway,
Martino, yes,
Sparks, Petey, Memphis. You know, Pain, you know,
the whole
conglomerate. Yes, man.
The world is the hip hop
and the culture and the universe is all the more richer for the jewels you all have brought to it, and keep bringing those treasures of thought for us all to be, you know, trade that currency of consciousness with. Son, thank you again so much. We got to do a part two.
We appreciate you.
Thank you again so much.
Oh, man, thank y'all for having me, man. I just want to say, listen, y'all guys got my header. Y'all are now my brothers, man. Anything y'all need, let me know. I got y'all. The records is coming, and they coming in fast. So I'm going to make sure y'all in tune with everything we got going on, everything I got going on, man. Shows. Anything y'all need, reach out to Kev, man. Y'all know he always can find me, or y'all can reach out to me, man. Y'all got my header. Please, man, everybody that's tapped into this show, keep tapping into these brothers because they dope. They representing for the culture. And go get Midnight Train to Philly. Midnight Train to Philly out right now. One of the hottest albums out. The hottest album out. Put it like that, period, man. Thank y'all for having me, man. Look, man, it's been a joyous occasion, man. SON, the new Philly, son of the 215, man. I get with y'all.
Absolutely, absolutely. Another championship chapter. flying high like the Eagles do, and another ring for Liberty of Hip Hop from the 215, an illustrious, you know, footnote in the phenomenal legacy of Off the Cuff Radio. Brother King, take us out of here.
Yeah, man. Thank you for joining us, man, for the second hour, man. Big shout out to Kev for making this happen. We definitely gonna be building more with you in the coming weeks. And we're gonna keep on pushing that line for you, man. So everybody stay up and thank everybody once again for tuning in tonight. We'll definitely be back again. Whenever. I don't know right now. Whenever we get booked, man. I ain't gonna even kid you. But, yeah, man, we up out of here.
God bless. Till the next time, y'all. One.